The opinions and ideas conveyed in this podcast are intended for informational purposes only. Always consult a physician concerning changes to diet, exercise, or general health concerns. Welcome to the podcast series To Change the Subject, where we have difficult conversations about one of the nation's number one killers, heart disease. If you are interested in learning more about a topic, please contact us.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving into, it's something that's been making a lot of headlines in the health world, you know, the link between blood pressure and stroke risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to break down why it matters to you.
Right.
And what you need to know to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area, you know, because it's something that affects so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it often, you know, flies under the radar until it's a serious problem.
Exactly. And we've gotten a ton of questions from you, our listeners, about blood pressure, what it is,
right,
how it impacts your risk for stroke, and most importantly, what you can do about it.
Absolutely.
So no better time than now to unpack this, right?
A great place to start, I think, is just making sure that we all understand exactly what blood pressure is and why it matters.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not just some random numbers on a screen, right?
Right. So for those who might not be familiar with all the medical jargon, can you give us the need-to-know basics about blood pressure?
Absolutely. So in the simplest terms, blood pressure is the force that your blood exerts on the walls of your arteries.
Okay.
And your arteries are like the highways of your circulatory system.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine those arteries as those massive fire hoses that firefighters use.
Okay, I can picture that. So the blood flowing through is like the water rushing through the hose.
Precisely, yeah. And blood pressure tells us how much force that water is putting on the hose walls.
Okay.
Now, some pressure is normal and it's necessary.
It's
what keeps the blood flowing.
Right.
But too much pressure over time, that's where the danger lies.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's where those two numbers that we always hear about come in, right? Systolic and diastolic. The source material mentions those a lot.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You see them as a ratio, like 120 over 80, written as 120 80 millimeters G.
Right.
The top number, systolic, is the pressure when your heart beats.
Mm.
That surge of force as your heart pumps.
Okay.
The bottom number, diastolic, is the pressure when your heart relaxes between beats.
So it's like peak pressure versus resting pressure.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Now you might be wondering, what's a healthy range? Well, a reading of 120, 80 millimeters G or less is considered healthy.
Okay.
But you know what's fascinating? Blood pressure, it isn't a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right.
It's categorized into different levels.
Okay.
To help understand your individual risk.
So it's like a blood pressure report card of sorts. I'm sure our listeners are curious to know what those categories are.
Yeah.
What they mean. Could you walk us through those?
Absolutely, yeah. So the source material breaks it down into five categories.
Okay.
First, we have normal blood pressure, which we just discussed, that ideal 120, 80 or lower.
Right.
Then there's elevated blood pressure, which is like a yellow flag.
Mm-hmm.
This is where your systolic pressure is between 120 and 129 millimeter Hg.
Okay.
But your diastolic is still below 80.
Okay. So it's not quite high blood pressure, but it's something to keep an eye on, right?
That's right.
A sign that maybe some lifestyle changes are needed.
Precisely.
Okay.
Now, once that systolic pressure hits 130 or higher, or the diastolic reaches 80 or higher, that's when we enter hypertension territory, high blood pressure.
Okay.
And this is further divided into stage one and stage two.
Right.
With stage two representing the most severe form.
Got it. So we have our blood pressure report card, normal, elevated, hypertension stages one and two. But why is hypertension such a big deal? The source material hints at it being a silent threat.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty ominous.
And that's the real danger of hypertension.
Yeah.
You often don't feel it.
Yeah.
It's like a thief in the night, you know, silently causing damage without you even realizing it.
So someone could have high blood pressure for years and not even know it.
Exactly.
Oh.
And over time, that constant elevated pressure takes a toll on your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
The source material uses a phrase that really struck me. It says it gradually causes harm. It's not always a sudden dramatic event. It's often this slow, insidious process
right.
that can lead to serious problems down the road.
So it's more of a long game. But the consequences are still significant, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Imagine that fire hose again.
Right.
Now, picture it's slowly getting clogged from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what happens with a condition called atherosclerosis.
Atherosclerosis, I've heard that term before. Can you refresh our memories about what it is and how it relates to blood pressure?
Of course. Atherosclerosis is the buildup of plaque fats, cholesterol, and other substances inside the artery walls.
Okay.
Over time, this plaque hardens and narrows the arteries, making it harder for blood to flow through.
Right.
Remember, we talked about pressure.
Right, the force of blood against the artery walls.
Now imagine trying to force the same amount of water through a narrower hose. What happens?
Right.
The pressure increases.
So the narrower the arteries get from that plaque buildup, mm-hmm. the harder the heart has to work,
yeah.
and the higher the blood pressure climbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a vicious cycle.
You got it. And this brings us to a crucial point. The link between hypertension and stroke, because this is where things can become particularly dangerous.
And that's what we really want to understand, right? How does high blood pressure actually increase the risk of stroke?
Right.
Because the source material is very clear about that connection.
It is. In yeah. fact, the source states that high blood pressure is the single most important risk factor for stroke. That's a powerful statement. And it really underscores the seriousness of this issue. You know, it's not just a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very direct mechanistic link between hypertension and stroke.
So it's not just about the pressure itself, but the damage that high blood pressure inflicts on our arteries.
Right.
Making them vulnerable in multiple ways.
Right, exactly. And the source material actually details four key ways this happens. Let's break those down because understanding the how can be eye-opening.
Okay, let's unpack this. How does hypertension increase the risk of stroke?
The first way is through direct damage to the artery walls themselves. Remember our fire hose analogy. Imagine that hose being blasted with water constantly, day in and day out. Over time, that constant pressure weakens the hose's material, making it more susceptible to damage, right?
Right. It's like the hose is under constant stress and eventually it's going to start to wear down.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of our arteries, that constant high pressure from hypertension does the same thing. It weakens the artery walls, making them more prone to injury, tearing, and even the formation of aneurysms.
And an aneurysm is?
Essentially, it's a bulge in the weakened artery wall. Think of it like a balloon. If you keep inflating it, eventually it's going to burst. And if an aneurysm in the brain ruptures, that's what we call a hemorrhagic stroke bleeding in the brain.
Wow. Okay, that's a scary thought. So that's one way, direct damage to the artery walls. What's the second way hypertension increases stroke risk?
The second way ties back to what we were discussing earlier, atherosclerosis, that buildup of plaque in the arteries. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Hypertension doesn't just coexist with atherosclerosis, it actually accelerates the process.
So not only are the arteries weaker and more vulnerable because of the high pressure, but they're also becoming increasingly clogged,
right.
narrowing even further.
Exactly. High blood pressure essentially creates the perfect storm for plaque to build up, speeding up the narrowing of the arteries. This narrowing makes it even harder for blood to flow through, increasing the pressure even more, which in turn worsens the atherosclerosis. It's a vicious cycle that significantly raises the risk of what's known as an ischemic stroke.
Ischemic stroke? That's different from a hemorrhagic stroke.
You're right. And the source material points out that ischemic stroke is actually the most common type of stroke. It occurs when a blood clot blocks an artery that supplies blood to the brain. Remember those narrowed arteries we've been talking about? They're prime locations for clots to form.
So we've got two ways hypertension raises stroke risk. Direct damage to the arteries, making them prone to rupture, and accelerating atherosclerosis, making those narrowed arteries perfect spots for clots to form and block blood flow to the brain. This is heavy stuff. What about the third way?
The third way is all about the blood itself and how hypertension affects its ability to clot. You see, inside our arteries, there's a thin layer of cells called the endothelium. You can think of it like the Teflon coating on a frying pan.
Okay, keeping things from sticking.
Exactly. The endothelium helps keep blood flowing smoothly, preventing unnecessary clotting. But here's the thing. Hypertension damages the endothelium.
So it's like scratching that nonstick coating on our arteries.
You got it. And just like a scratched pan, that damaged endothelium makes it easier for blood cells and other substances to stick, leading to, you guessed it, more clots. And if one of those clots breaks free and travels to the brain, it can block an artery, causing an ischemic stroke.
So it's almost like a chain reaction, starting with damage from high blood pressure, then those clots forming, and finally potentially blocking blood flow to the brain.
That's a great way to sum it up. And then there's the fourth way hypertension increases stroke risk, and it's a bit more indirect, but equally important. Hypertension can increase your risk of developing other serious health conditions, like heart disease,
right,
which can then raise your stroke risk.
So it's like hypertension is a gateway to a whole cascade of potential health problems.
Precisely. One condition the source material highlights is atrial fibrillation, or AFib.
AFib, that rings a bell. Can you remind us what AFib is and how it ties into this whole picture?
Certainly, AFib is a type of irregular heartbeat. Instead of beating in a steady, rhythmic way, the heart quivers or flutters. Now, what's important to understand is that when the heart beats irregularly, blood doesn't flow as efficiently. It can pool in certain areas of the heart,
okay,
increasing the risk of, you guessed it, blood clots forming. And if one of those clots travels to the brain, it can block an artery, causing an ischemic stroke.
Wow. So even something like an irregular heartbeat, which we might not even be aware of, can significantly increase the risk of stroke if hypertension is present.
Exactly. And that's why understanding the multifaceted relationship between hypertension and stroke is so critical. It's not just about managing blood pressure in isolation. It's about understanding the domino effect it can have on our overall cardiovascular health.
Absolutely. This has been incredibly eye-opening and a little bit scary, to be honest. But the good news is that the source material doesn't leave us hanging. It provides some concrete steps we can take to prevent and manage hypertension, which, as we've learned, is key to lowering stroke risk.
It's empowering to know that we're not powerless in this situation.
Sure.
There are things we can do to take control of our heart health.
So let's dive into those. The source material talks about a healthy diet and specifically mentions the DDS diet. What's so special about the DDS diet?
So the DHH diet, which stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension, is specifically designed to lower blood pressure. It emphasizes foods rich in potassium, magnesium, and calcium.
Okay.
Nutrients that help regulate blood pressure while limiting sodium, saturated fat, and cholesterol.
So it's like giving your body the right fuel to keep that blood pressure in check.
Exactly. And speaking of giving your body the right tools, the source material is also a big advocate for regular exercise.
Which makes sense, right? Exercise is good for everything.
Yeah.
But how does it help lower blood pressure?
When you exercise regularly, you strengthen your heart muscle. A stronger heart pumps blood more efficiently, which means it doesn't have to work as hard.
Right.
Leading to, you guessed it, lower blood pressure.
It's amazing how interconnected everything is. And what about like those lifestyle factors we often hear about, like managing stress, limiting alcohol, and reducing salt intake? How do those play into this?
All of these play a role. Remember how we talked about stress hormones temporarily raising blood pressure?
Right.
Managing stress through techniques like meditation or deep breathing can help keep those spikes in check.
Okay.
Similarly, excessive alcohol intake and a high salt diet can contribute to high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Being mindful of our consumption habits can make a big difference.
So it's about, you know, it's about making those healthy choices part of our daily lives, not just one-off things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, the source emphasizes the importance of monitoring your blood pressure.
Right, because we can't manage what we don't measure.
Exactly. Whether it's regular checkups with your doctor or investing in a home blood pressure monitor, being aware of your numbers is crucial.
This deep dive has been quite a journey. It's clear that blood pressure isn't just some, you know, abstract medical term. It's a vital sign that tells us a lot about our overall health and our risk for serious conditions like stroke.
What's fascinating to me is how interconnected everything is. Diet, exercise, stress management, they all come together to paint a picture of our cardiovascular well-being.
And that's a powerful message for our listeners. You know, we've given you the knowledge, but now it's about taking that knowledge and using it to make informed decisions about your health. Remember, knowledge is power,
yeah,
especially when it comes to our well-being.